When I was a little boy, I used to love Easter. I used to love the dressing up to go to church. I loved even though sometimes that tie was a little too tight, I still loved going to church and all the things that went along with it. But on Easter Sunday morning, we had the distraction of course, the coming of the Easter Bunny. Now, unlike Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny comes, and it's a shorter event, and it happens outside, which is exciting. And so we'd get up, and in my pajamas, Mom would put my robe on me and slippers on me, and if it happened to be cold outside, a coat on me and my brother. And then she would give us this basket that had this fake green grass in it. And then she would say, okay, now, Greg, you have this side of the backyard, and Chuck, you have that side of the backyard, and Mina, our German Shepherd, will already be in the house in the living room, so here you go. Now you can just go and find all of the Easter eggs and all of the goodies that are in the backyard. And we would scoot. We'd run out there and start looking. Now on Saturday, we had boiled and dyed eggs, and then we decorated them. We had a decorating thing. We put the egg in, and you could have little markers that you'd decorate it with. And to make sure I found all of my eggs and my brother didn't take any of them, I wrote my name on mine just to make sure and gave them to Mother to give to the Easter Bunny to scatter around the yard. Anyway, going outside, we'd go out and we'd look for all the wonderful goodies, all the wonderful thing, the Easter eggs and the plastic eggs that had the wonderful gift of chocolate inside. And so we would go and we'd search. And the Easter Bunny had always these great ways of putting things out there. In turned over buckets, there'd be some grass with eggs in it. On the swing set, each swing would have, you know, plastic Easter eggs with chocolate in it. And the steps, the rungs of the ladder going up to the top of the slide on the swing set had plastic Easter eggs with chocolate in it. And there would be all sorts of arrangements in the flower pots up near the pool over in the garden. There'd be all sorts of places all throughout the amongst the flowers. There'd be plenty of Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies and all sorts of stuff. And it was a wonderful experience. I loved running around trying to find it. My brother was quick. I mean, he wanted to get to it so he could get to the loot so he could actually get into the house. And find, of course, also find some of the presents, you know, the kite and the balsa wood glider with the wind up propeller running with a rubber band that you could fly. And he wanted to get the toys, and he also wanted to get the chocolate and start eating. My brother wasn't stupid. Me, I took my time because I enjoyed the hunt. I enjoyed the experience. I enjoyed going from place to place to place looking for all the goodies. At the end of the hunt, there was always the fluffy Easter Bunny. A bunny, a stuffed rabbit that would be hiding in the bushes in the side of the garden, peeking around a corner or behind a larger plant, peeking around the pot. And as I would go and I would find all the Easter eggs and all the goodies and all the chocolate and all that stuff, I would always avoid the fluffy Easter Bunny. Because finding that bunny meant the egg hunt was over. And I didn't want it to be over. So I'd go past it again and again and again, looking for more loot. Until finally Mom would say, okay, Greg, it's time to let Mina out in the backyard, our German Shepherd, out in the backyard. Upon which I would go running over to where the bunny was, and I'd scoop it up in my arms and hug it tight. And the hunt would be over. We'd have to go in. Mom would fix scrambled eggs and bacon. We'd eat some of our chocolate. I'm sorry, Sunday school teachers, I know. What a nightmare. And then we would have to get dressed. And of course, I wasn't all ahead. I loved going to church, but on Easter Sunday, having to leave behind my loot in order to get dressed to go to church was awful. I wanted to stay home rather than fool around with church on Easter morning. Oh, yeah, there you go, there, exactly. You hear that? They agree. It seemed foolishness to me. And it seems foolishness to me as I grew up. As I grew up and I went off to college and rediscovered my faith, to me, all that Easter bunny and Easter eggs and rabbits meant nothing to me. In fact, it was foolishness to me. After all, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, not the coming of a rabbit. We're celebrating the empty tomb, not finding eggs, be they chocolate-filled or regular. It all seems silly to me. Well, except for the chocolate, maybe. It all seems silly for me as I grew up. Why mess with the rabbits? Why mess with the eggs? Why even mess with the chocolate? I know that's a heresy. Why mess with the chocolate? When the message is about the resurrection of Jesus, when the message is about victory over sin and death, when the message is about God coming to be with us, proclaiming the good news in his works and his deeds and his death and in his resurrection. I was kind of a sourpuss early on in my ministry. I wanted to be so serious. I mean, after all, I was young. Younger than you are now, Brian. I was young. I had a church member who called me the kid. And I pastored churches where the youngest father present was my dad. Wow. I wanted to be so serious. So bunnies and eggs and chocolate and all that, nah. Let's talk about the resurrection of Jesus. And as a result, I kind of was cynical at times and sourpuss at times. And anything that was even remotely felt of sentimentality just kind of turned me wrong. I felt that way about In the Garden, the hymn In the Garden. You know, I'm sorry, my friends, but I actually wrote this down in an article. I have to read it. I considered it, In the Garden by C. Austin Miles in the early 20th century, I considered it a collection of me-oriented, self-centered, overly sentimental, saccharine claptrap. Wow, Greg. You know, throughout my ministry, I've changed my opinions on lots of things. Thank God I changed my opinion on this one. Because it's not. And at first glance, it seems to be. At first glance, it seems to be awfully me-oriented. It has the personal pronoun, the first person personal pronoun, 21 times in the song. 10 more times than the reference to he, Jesus. Huh. Well, no. It's not me-oriented, self-centered, overly sentimental, saccharine claptrap. When the Methodist Commission on the Hymnal was repaneled about two quadrennia ago to start the process for a new hymnal, which was then shut down due to money, that committee, one of the first things that people were saying was, get rid of In the Garden. And at first I thought, yeah, sounds like a good idea to me. Let's get rid of that song. And then someone addressed that committee and said, you don't understand. It is the resurrection story as told by Mary Magdalene. And I sat back and went, wow. The resurrection story is told by Mary Magdalene, yes. It's the story here today in John's Gospel that we had read here in chapter 20. It's the story here today of Mary Magdalene coming back to the garden with John and Peter following them. They race there. They go inside. They see the clothes. They see the wrappings that had been wrapped around his body and the facial wrapping wrapped around his body. He had dematerialized and they had fallen back on themselves. They saw all that, but they were wondering. They didn't understand, so they left. And Mary stoops down and looks inside, and she sees two angels standing there in white. Now, it doesn't seem to faze her very much. She's crying. She's in tears. She doesn't know where Jesus' body is. She doesn't understand the resurrection. She's wondering where it is. She's afraid that someone has stolen it. She looks inside. She sees two angels. They ask her why she's crying. What's she looking for? And then she turns around. It doesn't seem to faze her any. She turns around. And she sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize Jesus. Instead, she thinks he's the gardener. Tell me where you've laid him. I want to go and take him and bury him myself. I'll take care of him. Did you hide him behind the roses over here? I want to take care of him. And it wasn't until he said her name, Mary, Miriam, that she finally recognized him. And she replied, my rabbi, Rabboni, my rabbi. The words from in the garden reflect upon this. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. Now, you know, the cynic in me and the academic in me would say, were there roses in Palestine? Beside the point. While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Wow. The song is a reflection on Mary Magdalene's encounter with Jesus. Mary Magdalene, the first witness to the resurrection of Jesus in all four Gospels. Mary Magdalene, the one who is the consistent witness in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that the tomb was empty and that Jesus is raised from the dead. This is that moment. And that's where this hymn is rooted. The voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Now, the refrain kind of bugs me still. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And yet, that is kind of what happened. They walked and they talked. They spent time together in the garden. And the joy that she must have known experiencing the resurrected Christ in her midst, the joy that she must have known knowing that he was alive, that he was not dead, that she was not going to have to bury him, that he was alive and alive, alive forevermore, must have been amazing. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Well, get the second verse. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. Now, you know, that sounds a little bit much, and except, wow, when he spoke to her, it's as if everything else around her became unimportant. Everything else just kind of went quiet. She could only hear him. Miriam, he said. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. Oh, she must have shouted for joy. And it says that she rushed to him and she wanted to hang on to him, but he wouldn't let her. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. You've got to go and tell Peter, James, John. You've got to go tell the disciples that I am risen. You've got to go and tell the message, I am alive. You've got to go and tell them, death is conquered. You've got to go and tell them, sin is no more. You've got to go and tell them that I am risen. Amazing message. And she is the first one to have it to proclaim it. And she is the first one to have it to proclaim it. She is the first one to proclaim the gospel. She is the first one to proclaim the good news. She is the first one to speak this message. Amazing. And yes, I'm sure she wanted to stay in the garden with him forever rather than leave. We would too. But we are called also to hear his voice calling our names and then to go out and proclaim the good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, the good news of the love of God that overcomes sin and death, the good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord that promises us eternal life, the good news of the gospel. God's love knows no limits. God's love is for all. And that because of what Jesus has done for us, we have nothing to fear. For he who stands before her and calls her by name and sends her forth to proclaim the gospel message is the one who, when he was hanging on the cross, said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." The message of Easter, the message of Resurrection Sunday, the message that we have to proclaim is greater than any other message. More important than anything else we have to say or do is to proclaim the good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, having overcome sin and death, our sin, our death, and the relationship that we can have with God, and what that relationship then means for us in reaching out to the world with the good news of the gospel, the good news of the love of God. We, like Mary Magdalene, have a message to proclaim. We, like Mary Magdalene, may want to hang on and cling on to Jesus and stay in the garden with him. We may want to stay there. We don't want to go, but we have to go. We must go and proclaim the good news to the disciples and to all. This Easter Resurrection Day, let us hear that message and let us proclaim it. Let us be like Mary Magdalene. The one whom Jesus had delivered from demons now is given a message to proclaim, the message of the angels, the message of the angels that spoke to her in the tomb, the message that we have to proclaim is that message too, that Christ Jesus is with us. We can experience his presence. We can believe it is true through scripture and tradition. We cannot explain the resurrection, but we know that it is true. We can accept that it is true through scripture and tradition and experience. We know that it is true. And we can proclaim it to all. Come today to the table of the Lord and receive again anew the experience of the immediate real presence of Jesus. Know that he is with us. Give thanks and praise to God. And then follow the directive that Mary Magdalene received and go out and proclaim by word and deed the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And share God's love with all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another with the prayer as printed in your bulletins. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. You may be seated. Let us continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come and you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word by your grace upon grace. You
have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2018 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.